Blog Talk Radio.
All right, fans, here we go. 4 2-minute rounds of boxing scheduled. Women's in the ring.
Greetings, fight fans. My name is Felipe Leon from In the Square Circle here on the Leave It in the Ring Network. And now the new show here, the 2-minute round, your hook and jab look into the female fight world. And with me is my co-host, David Avila. David, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you doing, Felipe?
How are you doing, David? How are you doing today?
Not bad, not bad. Busy as usual.
Yeah, it's a little bit busy. I'm broadcasting here from Tijuana, Mexico, while my partner co-host David Avila is in Riverside, California. And just to give you a little bit of an introduction of who I am, I don't know if you guys have listened to the other shows that I broadcast here on the Leave It in the Ring Network called In the Square Circle, but also I'm the co-host of Boxeo Tijuana. .com or TV, which is a live boxing TV show on YouTube in Spanish, and also an international editor of FightNews.com. And as far as David Avila, he's a boxing writer and historian based out of Riverside, California, but he's been covering fights for how many years have you been covering fights, David?
So probably about 31 years. I've been doing it
How's
a long
that?
Time, though. With a newspaper for about 21 years.
For 21 years. And mostly in Southern California and Nevada and all that, right?
Exactly, yeah. Where I've been east to cover fights over there occasionally, but mainly in the West Coast.
Awesome. And also, we were going to have a third co-host, but she had a little bit of an emergency last minute, actually last night. So she's not going to be able to join us. Her name is Liz Quevedo, and I don't know if you guys have heard of her or know of her, but we have. She's a former 4-time U.S. National Amateur Champion. She went pro some years ago and now is a writer for UppercutMagazine.com and La Prensa newspaper. Unfortunately, she's not going to be able to be with us today, but she will be with us on our next show. Just to give you a little bit of news about our show, this is our first show of the 2-minute round. But we're going to be having this show every other week, and it's going to be focused 100% on female boxing. You know, I know that there's a lot of fans like myself, like David, that have been following female boxing for years and years and years, and we don't have a platform to be able to discuss the sport farther than Twitter or, you know, websites or anything that we might be catching anywhere else on the internet. But now we have this platform, which is your platform as well, the 2-Minute Round podcast, which is going to be every other week, every other Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific time. And today's show is a very special show. We're going to do a little bit of a recap of all the significant fights. We don't have time to touch on every fight that has happened this year so far in the female boxing world, but we are going to be touching on the most important ones. And also in about 20 minutes or less, we're going to have a very special exclusive interview with Tom Loeffler, the president or CEO of K2 Promotions, who has put on female fighting in the past in their fight cards, and did it in the last fight card with Gennady Golovkin in Los Angeles, and he's going to be doing it again this upcoming April with two, not just one, but two female fight cards scheduled for April 23rd. Featuring East Los Angeles' Teniente Estrada and Tijuana, Mexico's Kenya Enriquez.
Yes, those fights
Any
should
thoughts
be
on
really
that, David?
Good. Oh, those fights should be great. In fact, it's remarkable because they're two up-and-coming fighters. Even though Kenya's already won a world title, she's going to make her splash in the United States and in L.A. She's been in San Diego already, as you know, and she's a very special talent. As is Sunisa Estrada, who also won the U.S. national title. She didn't proceed to the Olympics, she chose a pro route, but she's very special too. They're very unique fighters, and hopefully one day they even fight each other. But they're both going to be in the cards. They're both fighting pretty good people.
Yeah, I think that's a possible fight in the future. They're around the same weight class. I think that there's a little bit Siniestra Estrada has a little bit of a road to go to be able to match up to make it a more of an enticing fight for Kenya. But we'll talk about that with Tom, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on the show. But now we're going to go into the female boxing recap for the year. And like I mentioned to you, we're just going to touch on the most important fights that happened this year. And then you know, obviously there's been a lot more, but this is going to be just a quick, you know, the top perhaps 10 or 11 or 12 fights that have happened in the year, starting back on January 15th in a Friday, January 15th in San Salvador in Central America. We had Saida Mosquera defend her interim WBA bantamweight title against Dayana Cordero, winning via fourth round TKO. A funny thing about this fight is Mosquera was actually down in the fourth, but came back to beat Cordero. Any thoughts on that, David? Did you get a chance to watch that fight?
You know, I actually didn't get to see that fight. It's funny because I know that Saida fought and defeated the girl from Costa Rica. And the people there told me that Saida is a very strong fighter, very, very strong, and that they were kind of surprised at her strength. And at 118, maybe she's a force. You know, who knows?
Yeah, and you know, and then obviously the heavy hitters in that weight class are, you know, mostly Mexican and South American, a little bit farther south in Central America. So maybe they could be possible opponents in the future for this world champ.
Yeah, absolutely. They were trying to match Saida with Melinda Cooper also, but that didn't happen. And that seems to be a constant theme. But Saida is, you know, she's an up-and-comer. She has enough fights to fight anybody. And maybe she'll fight the new WBC champ in a unification.
Well, hopefully she's coming back in the ring soon because she fought back in January. So I think she'll be up for a fight maybe this month in March or April. 2 weeks after that, on a Wednesday, January 27th, at the B.B. King's Bar and Grill in New York City, DeBella Entertainment put on Shelly Vincent, who was undefeated, and this time she remained undefeated by defeating Renata Domsodi via unanimous decision, six-rounder. The scores were 60-54. All judges scored it a landslide win for Shelly Vincent. Shelly Vincent is kind of making a name for herself right now. Actually, I think if I'm not mistaken, it was either in that fight or a later fight where she actually called out the darling of the New York City female boxing scene, Heather Hardy. What would you think of that fight, David?
That's actually a pretty even fight. I mean, Shelly's a pressure fighter. Heather supposedly has speed. I haven't seen enough of her in person. I mean, of YouTube, I've never seen her in person. But that might be an interesting fight. They're both veterans. Heather is, 41 years old? She doesn't have that many fights, but I think she's 41
years old.
Heather Hardy?
She is 41. I thought she was a little younger than that. I don't know if she was in her actual 40s.
Yeah, I think she's 41. Wait a minute. You know what? I might be wrong. I think she's 31. Yeah, 31 years old. But that would be an interesting fight because Shelly's a real pressure fighter. And I haven't seen Heather Hardy enough to know if she could handle that. Can you hear me?
Hello?
I'm here. Hello? Can you hear me? I guess we dropped up.
He dropped off. He dropped off, Dave, but he'll be calling back in right now. Felipe Leon will be calling back in right now. He did drop off for a second.
Okay, all right.
So as soon as he comes on, so go ahead and keep saying what was going on with that fighter now. I mean, 41 years old. What more do you expect out of that? I mean, let me ask you this. At 41 years old, do you think for a female fighter, that is that more against her? Because obviously you would think that the woman's body mechanically is a lot different. I mean, it is a lot different from the man. So what do you think the preparations for a 41-year-old to has to do in order to stay competitive?
Well, it's funny because in this day and age, everybody is more into physical fitness. And you see it more and more. The girls are fighting until they're 45, like Alicia Ashley. She's already in her mid-40s and still fighting and still a champion. Heather Hardy is 34. That's her age. She was born in 82.
Oh, 34. Okay, 34.
Yeah,
yeah,
she's
34. 41. Wow. Okay, I mean, even at that age as well, I mean, you have to say that's pretty astonishing for somebody at 34 years old still being very competitive, especially in such a hard sport, you know, and where most folks criticize female fighting because they think it's just abnormal, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They take a lot of hits. They've taken hits for the last 30, 40 years. And but it's, I think with the amateur program really stepping up the game, we're seeing more talented female fighters. You see them all the time now. Before it was a rare thing. But today, you see so much talent coming out of the amateurs. And they come out and they know what they're doing. They know how to train. They know how to throw punches. They know how to throw combinations. And they can go the distance. All of them can go the distance. That's the one thing about female fighters. Go ahead.
Right. No, I was just going to say, obviously I'm filling in the shoe right now for Philippe Leon. We're waiting for him to come back on. I'm not as educated with female boxing, folks, so whoever's tuning in right now, this is David Wenis from Leaving the Ring. I'm just producing the show right now. We can't seem to get Philippe back on for some reason, but I'm just letting everybody know we're waiting for him. So if this sounds more of like an interview, me interviewing David Avila, that's because it is in a lot of ways right now. You know, but you know, my curiosity is here is this. Let me ask you something, okay? Because Holly Holmes obviously crossed over to the MMA world, and she did what a lot of folks consider the Mike Tyson and Buster Douglas upset, okay? But she just lost this past weekend. But even though she lost, Dave, let me ask you: has it opened up any doors and any eyes to boxing promoters, seeing that there was so much attention what Holly Holmes did, not with our sport, but across the pond, you know, well, across the street to the other green grass of the MMA world?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it did open doors, but nobody wants to be first. It's one of those things where promoters don't want to be the first one to do it. They don't want to gamble because they know it's going to cost them money. Dana White, he didn't want to do it at first, and then he saw somebody he knew was a slam dunk when he saw Ronda Rousey. He didn't know if it was going to translate into money right away, but he knew that she had the looks, she had Olympic background. He knew at least he could match her easier in the beginning, but you know, in MMA, there's no easy fights.
Right.
There's so much going on. And in boxing, it's more about skill. Boxing, you got to be super skilled, and that's the difference.
Could there be a crossover?
MMA.
But Dave, let me ask you: could there be a crossover like that? I mean, because obviously the gem was Holly Holm. I mean, though she lost, but that's something very common in the sport of UFC and MMA, that a guy could be on the top with his first fight. The second fight, he falls off. But in boxing with females, is there somebody that could stand out? That if they had the chance to be on HBO, they had the chance to be on Showtime, on a premier network, could they turn some heads and could they bring some really serious interest and investment towards their sport?
I think there are. I think there are plenty of women out there that could really catch the eye of the fan. There's a few out there right now that I'm seeing, and I know that if a promoter really does it right, gives them the proper platform, gives them very good promoting. I mean, where you tell the world, this girl is fighting on this day and this time, watch her. That's the kind of promoting they need. And Dana White was able to do that for MMA, but we need a boxing promoter to do the same for women. And they're out there. I see it all the time. We've seen some come and go. I've seen some fighters I thought were can't-miss products, and they just came and went. You know, after their time was over. And there's some girls that are still teetering on veteran, as veterans, and have a few years left, and they can spark the sport too. And there's some young girls too. Some young girls that I know that will be a superstar. Who knows if it's a Kenya Enriquez from Tijuana or a Sunisa Estrada from East L.A. It could be one of those girls. They got the talent.
You know, we're going to have the president of K2, Tom Lawfer, on in just a short bit here. Hopefully we can get Felipe Leon back on. He's saying he's trying to get on. It's just not he's having some internet problems, so he's probably going to have to call from a landline to get back on the show here. But let me ask you about this, you know, because having Tom on, what do you think? Here he is. Hold on. What do you think about Tom? Felipe, are you there? Felipe? Okay, he got dropped off again. He's got to just call straight in. Anyways, Dave, what I was asking was, with Tom Lawfer here coming on pretty shortly, in about another five mm-hmm. minutes or so, and him taking that jump step of getting two female fights on the undercard of Gennady Golovkin at the Forum, why do you think he's so accepted of doing something like that, where other promoters are still kind of hesitant to even attempt something like that?
Well, Felipe, in my estimation,
yes.
In my estimation, I think it's because he's done so many fights in Germany, and in Germany they had superstars over there. Just a few years back, up until about 2010, they had a Regina Halmes, who was a superstar in Germany. She was making millions of dollars, and no woman's come close to her yet. Nobody in the world has come close to making that kind of money. Now, Regina was this great fighter. She was packing them in Germany. I mean, we're talking about 20,000 people in a stadium and arenas to see her fight. And
Tom
Lawfer was there. Yeah, I can hear.
Sorry. Thank you, David Duenas, for taking over. You know, the hiccups of live radio. You know, it bit us today, our first show, but I'm back. I'm back on the line. Can everybody hear me? You can hear me, David? David, everybody's on there?
I'm here.
Okay. So going to where do we leave off? Do we leave off with Shelly Vincent? Do we want to go with Tom Lawfer? What do you want to do here, our producer, David Duenas?
We were talking when you left about Heather Hardy, and she was fighting Shelly Vincent, and how that fight would – how Hardy – looks to be a new person on the horizon, although she is 34 years old. We clarified that finally. She's not 40, but she's 34.
Okay. Well, the only thing that I think would stop from making that fight, and it all depends, I guess, on Shelly Vincent, is that one thing that I have seen about Heather Hardy is that she's been creeping up on weight. You know, she started off as a super bantamweight, but now I think she's fighting closer to featherweight, having some trouble making the weight like she did with her fight with Noemi Bosquez, where she actually had they ended up fighting closer to featherweight.
Wow, didn't know that.
Yeah, so let's go to the next fight that we have on the list, which was Friday, January 29th, from the five-star banquet hall in Queens, New York. A promotional company by the name of Uprising Promotions had in their main event Alicia Napoleon winning a 10-round unanimous decision over Sylvia Sabatos for the vacant WBC silver super welterweight title. The scores were 100 to 92 times and 100 to 89. So what makes this interesting is that this small uprising promotional company, which I'm pretty sure doesn't have a TV deal, was able to put on a WBC silver title, you know, in what could amount to a club show. So it makes it interesting that in female boxing, we're able to have those type of shows where, you know, there isn't big money behind it, but we still could see a title fight in a club-level type a show.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. I wonder how they did that. And without TV and in the banquet hall, I wonder if I've never been to the banquet hall in Queens. It must accommodate
at least
a couple of thousand.
I don't even think it would be that big, but, you know, but for them to have this WBC super banner, a super welterweight title, it's pretty interesting. Now we move on to what could possibly be the biggest show so far this year in female boxing, at least in this side of the world, because I believe that just a couple weeks ago, if not a week ago, there was a huge like 8 or 9 female boxing fight card in Japan. But as far in this hemisphere, possibly the biggest show this year as far as female boxing was on Saturday, January 30th, about 15 minutes away from where I live here in Tijuana, Baja California, Mexico. This was at the Rosarito Convention Center, and it was the closing for the second annual WBC Female Boxing Convention, where we actually had female fights on the card. It was topped off by the upset of she was from Africa, the country. She was
Catherine
from Zambia, Fee. Catherine Fiti, beating via technical majority decision the long-reigning champ, 118-pounder WBC Jasmine Rosita Rivas. Scores were 59-55, 58-56, and 57-57 in a fight that was stopped by the ringside doctor because after an accidental headbutt, Rivas suffered a pretty deep cut. I don't know if it would have stopped her from continuing. It was kind of like in a weird spot in the middle of her forehead. It wasn't right above her eyes, which usually, you know, forces the doctor to stop the fight. But they decided to stop it. I was there at the fight live, David, and quite honestly, Jasmine Rivas couldn't catch up to Fiti. Fiti was the faster of the two. She looked to be the stronger of the two. She was landing some great combinations. And maybe that's the reason that the corner wasn't all that opposed to the doctor stopping the fight, thinking that they might be ahead in the card, but that strategy backfired because they ended up losing the majority decision. But before we go into the rest of that card, let's go to our special guest who is on the line, Mr. Tom Loeffler of K2 Promotions. Mr. Loeffler, are you there?
Yes, hi, David. How are you?
Hey,
hello,
how
Mr.
you doing,
Loeffler?
Tom? Good to hear from you.
I'm great.
Are you still
doing good? Doing good. Still, go ahead.
Go ahead, David. Go ahead and start up the interview, and I'll follow up on you.
Well, Tom, people were kind of surprised by the fact that you have two females on the same card as Gennady Golovkin and Chuck Liddell, which is a huge card that's going to take place on April 23rd in Los Angeles at the Forum. But if people know your history, they know that K2 has done this before. They did it at the Forum. I mean, not at the Forum, but Staples Center with Layla Ali and with Lucille Reichard and Seppin Bouts also. Is that something that you've come to recognize that maybe that you should add female fights to your card too?
Yeah, we, you know, David, we like to recognize the or acknowledge the female boxers. I was just at the WBC female convention that was held recently in Tijuana, and Mauricio Suleiman, the president, had asked if we could put on some of the female fights, and Sunisa Estrada, she fought last year on the Triple G show when he fought in the Forum, and you know she's popular in LA. She sold a lot of tickets, and so it just made sense to do it again. But as you mentioned from a while ago, we worked with Leila Ali. We did a couple of fights with her. Also, she was on the Madison Square Garden show when Vladimir fought in New York, and then also in Berlin, and then Lucia Leiker was one of the best female fighters ever. It's just unfortunate she never really got her, the spotlight that she deserved when she was injured, going into that Christy Martin fight. But I think it just adds a different dimension to when you have two great fighters like Gennady Golovkin and Roman Gonzalez, and then you add a different element of having the two female fights on the show. I think it just makes it a lot more interesting for the fans.
Tom, you've been able to see some of these fight cards in Germany where they had Regina Helmick and Daisy Lang. So what was it like to see those kind of fights, or were you able to see those kind of fights when they fought in Germany?
Sure. No, I saw those fights, and you know, they were very popular, both Regina and Daisy, in Germany. And, you know, the crowd responds to them. A lot of times people tell me the female fights are more exciting than the male fights. So, I think it's just something that the a different element for the fans. And, you know, we just did, David, we just did the fight with Cecilia Breakhaus here in Germany on the fight with, or the show with Ola Afolabi and Marco Hook. And she was out of the ring for about a year. And we just, this is the first fight that we started working with her. And a lot of people are excited for her return to the ring. She's the only active, Cecilia is the only active fighter right now that has all the titles in her division, the welterweight division. She's got all the major titles, and so we're excited about her and looking forward to bringing her to the U.S. at some point as well.
Well, that's going to be amazing for you to bring her down over here. I know that she speaks English, which was a surprise to me, and she must speak about 3 or 4 languages. But she's pretty talented. She has a whole package.
Yeah, she's very talented. In the ring, and also, like you said, she speaks 4 languages, and she's very exciting in the ring, and also very attractive boxer. So it's just a great combination for her.
Do you have anybody in mind that you might want to match her with?
You know, we've since we started working with her, we've had a lot of offers as far as the people willing to fight her in the States. So it's just a matter of, you know, she's beaten a lot of great boxers already, you know, to win all the titles that she has. But, you know, it just it really depends on where it would be, you know, if the fight's in Vegas or in New York or L.A. But I think there would be some interesting matchups for her over in the U.S.
Yeah, when I spoke to her, she seemed pretty excited about the prospect of fighting in America. I think she feels that it's a new world for her to conquer, or at least try and see what she can do. And she seemed to hold the Americans in high esteem. And actually the girls in South America, she hasn't really been able to fight too many of them, although she did beat her last opponent was from was it Uruguay?
She was from Uruguay, yeah. And you know, she showed a lot of heart. She went the distance with Cecilia, and that was an entertaining fight. Definitely an entertaining fight for the fans.
Yeah, that was an entertaining fight. She seemed to be able to take a punch, the girl from Uruguay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, David.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead, Felipe.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Loeffler, my name is Felipe. I'm the co-host here of the 2-Minute Round with David Avila. How are you doing today?
Great, Felipe. How are you?
Good. Thank you for taking our call. Going back to the show that you're doing on April 23rd here at the Forum in Los Angeles, you know, and how you mentioned that you've had Sinisa Estrada on the show last time. Is that something that you're going to just do or focus for L.A. because maybe L.A. is a good market for female boxing, or are you looking to maybe open it up to when you guys go to New York with Gennady or any other fighter or any other city in the United States?
You know, Felipe, it worked well for this show coming up here at the Forum, and like I said, with the timing after the WC Female Convention, it worked well. I think it's just a case by case basis. Sometimes we have contractual obligations of, you know, for the promoter of, say, whoever's fighting Gennady, and or we have to put some other fighters on because of television, things of that nature. So it's really on a fight-by-fight basis, but whenever we can add, you know, an interesting female fight, we'd always look to do that, whether it's in L.A. or in New York. Layla had a great reception when Vladimir fought at in Madison Square Garden, and Layla was the co-feature, Layla Ali, and her father, obviously Muhammad Ali, was there in the crowd, and it just it was such an electric atmosphere when she entered the ring. It was an amazing addition to the Klitschko fight.
Now, the fact that you have Cecilia Breakhouse now under the K2 stable, and the fact that she is, you know, what's considered the pound-for-pound best female fighter in the world, and hoping to bring her to the United States, have you touched the idea of putting her on TV in the United States with any of the networks and see how interested they are?
We've definitely approached that subject, and we've seen how marketable she is in Europe. I mean, she's a national hero in her home country of Norway, and she's also very popular in Germany, where she's fought many of her fights. But I see the potential for her, with the American fans and also with the American television networks. It's just, it's a process of just getting her, actually on TV. We might have to have her debut on American TV on a pay-per-view show. And then, I mean, if you remember, that's how Christy Martin got her break when she was fighting on the Tyson undercards and all the pay-per-view shows. And so, that's probably how we'd have to start, and then just go from there as there's some more compelling matchups for her in the U.S.
And Mr. Loeffler, you being one that believes in female boxing and knows the potential of the marketability of it, and we have seen female fighting in the past on TV. They used to show it on ESPN. You know, what do you think is the biggest obstacle from the networks of having female boxing on TV in this day and age?
I think it just depends on, it kind of goes in waves when you have a popular female boxer. I mean, when Christy Martin was fighting, or Mia St. John was also very popular, and it just depends on, again, establishing the popularity for a female boxer, and then also, when you can make a compelling matchup, when there's two or three or four, popular names in each in one of the divisions, and you can match them up. I think that's what then will make for a highly marketable fight.
And my last question to you, Mr. Loeffler, before I pass you back on to David. I've been asked by a lot of people, and I know David has been asked by a lot of people, is there going to be a way that they're going to be able to watch these two female fights on April 23rd? Obviously not on TV, but maybe you're going to be streaming it on some kind of internet platform or anything like that?
Yeah, that's what we're working on right now. I definitely want to make those fights available to the boxing fans. So as soon as we have those details as far as the link for the stream, we'll make that announcement of where the boxing fans can watch them. The best way to watch them is to come down to the Forum and watch them fight live, because it's going to be a great atmosphere. We sent out a release today. It's over 10,000 tickets sold for the Forum, and this would just be a nice addition to the show.
Yeah,
David?
For fans that are listening, 10,000 tickets means there's only about 6,000 tickets left with a month to go. So I would go on Ticketmaster and get those tickets quick, because they're not going to be there by the time the fight rolls around on April the 23rd at the Forum. That's a great fight card, Tom. I mean, that's one of the best fight cards in LA in a while. And we've had kind of a drought. In fact, the last good one, to my knowledge, is when Gennady was here the last time at the Forum. And but this should even surpass that.
Yeah, that was when, if you remember, David, that's when Chuck Lotito made his HBO debut, and a lot of the fight fans weren't really that familiar with him. Naturally, the hardcore fight fans definitely knew who he was, but with his performance over Sosa, and then after he beat Brian Beloria, which was a great fight in the last fight at Madison Square Garden, now he just brings a whole different element with him of popularity. And then, you know, anytime Triple G returns to L.A., you know, the fight fans are just excited to see him fight, and now fighting a young, hungry fighter like Dominic Wade, his IBF mandatory. It's a compelling show, and I think when you have that type of combination, we have arguably the two best pound-for-pound fighters in the world, you know, as far as Triple G and Chocolatito, and then just adding, you know, as we were talking about with Sinisa and you know, adding the other elements with the female bouts. We're looking to provide a great show.
One thing that we were talking about just before you came on, Tom, was the fact that Kenya and Sinisa are in the same weight class, and they could possibly be fighting each other in the future, maybe on your show.
Yeah, that it actually was coincidental, but when the fight with Kenya was proposed to me, it made sense to me, and I figured at some point down the road, it could make sense to have them matched up in the same, since they're in the same weight class. So I think that's something that the fans, you know, can kind of compare the two fights and see if there's a way that we can do that down the road.
And one thing to add to that, Tom and David, is that I've actually seen all four female fight live, and I'm excited because I think that Sinisa has her hands full with Selena Lopez, who is a very tough fighter, and then the fight between Kenya and Amariz Quintana, who they've fought a couple of times on the same card here in San Diego, but now are going to be facing each other. I think that's a great fight too. So it's going to be some exciting matchup, not only in the male side, but also on the female side. They're not just like, you know, let's just showcase these two females, Sinisa and Kenya, because they are in good competitive fights within their own right on April 23rd.
No, you're right. The matchups, both matchups are great. And that's the thing, you know, sometimes when you have a mismatch in the female boxing, and that's where the fans get, you know, sometimes critical of it. But with these two fights, when you have the fighters, all of that, you know, quality of talent what they bring to the ring, that's where I think you'll see, you know, the excitement in the ring. And I think the fans, you know, they'll respond to it and appreciate, you know, the competitiveness for all four of the female fighters that you mentioned.
Wouldn't it be
great?
Okay, great. Go ahead.
David, you have anything else?
I was just going to add that wouldn't it be great if all those fights could be done in Vegas in the next venture, maybe sometime in the summer.
Yeah, it just depends on, you know, how the fights go and who wins. And then, you know, as we said, as far as potentially matching up the winners down the road. But I think it's a great start having actually two. You know, it's one thing to add one female bout, but actually having two quality bouts on the same show, I think that just puts a spotlight on, you know, that they need definitely, you know, to help with the marketability and just giving them the exposure in front of the fans. And that's what I think will help, you know, with the fan reaction, wanting to see them fight, you know, potentially on the same show.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Mr. Loeffler, for your time. I know that you are in Germany, so we don't want to take too much of your time. I don't even know what time it is over there. But we thank you for being on this, our first show, the 2 Minute Round. And hopefully we get to speak to each other again regarding female boxing.
Yeah, thanks, Felipe. It's always always great to talk to you and to David. It's early in the morning here in Germany, so I apologize for any by sounding tired. But I get back to L.A. later today, and then just looking forward for the final 6-week stretch before the fight. And it's great to be on the your inaugural show.
Thank you.
Thank you very much,
Tom. Have a good day. Have a good trip.
Yeah, have a safe trip. We'll see you soon.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Okay, see you guys.
And there you have it, folks. Our first interview here on the 2 Minute Round with Mr. Tom Loeffler, the CEO of K2 Promotions, who will be featuring two female boxing matches on April 23rd here at the Forum in Los Angeles on the undercard of Gennady Golovkin against Dominic Wade, which that fight and Chocolatito Hernandez, Gonzalez, I'm sorry, against McWilliams Arroyo is going to be broadcast live by HBO. But as Mr. Loeffler mentioned, that they are looking to see if they could stream the rest of the undercard, including those two female fights, on some type of platform so that us fans can watch that also if we're not going to be. Well, I'm going to be inside the building, and I know David's going to be inside the building. But for those that can't make it to the Forum in Los Angeles on April 23rd, hopefully we have a way that people can watch that fight, David.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's one of those. It's going to be a special card, because you have these two young, great fighters, and it's going to be one of those fights that you don't want to miss. And I just hope that they're able to come through with the streaming and allow the fans around the world to be able to see these talented female fighters.
That's right. So let's go back to our recap real quick of the past fights. And we left off on that Saturday, January 30th, which happened at the Rosarito Convention Center, the fight card that featured about five different female boxing matches, with the main event being the WBC 118-pound championship title fight, which Jasmine Rivas, the former champion, lost via a technical majority decision to Catherine Fiti of Zambia. Catherine Fiti becoming the first female champion of that country, if not the first champion ever of that country. Huh, David? Have they ever even had another champion besides Catherine Fiti?
She's the first female champion from that country. And
I think she's the first champion ever.
She only lost one fight. And that fight was to Christina McMahon, who's fighting Zelina Munoz this weekend.
This weekend, yeah, that's right. So that should be a good fight this weekend too, which we're going to get to in our upcoming calendar. But also featured on that fight card on Saturday, January 30th, back in Rosarito, we had Raja Amashe from Germany, originally from Jordan, but grew up in Germany, defend her WBC silver flyweight title against Eileen the Mongoose Ozewski via 10-round unanimous decision. The scores there were 97-93 two times and 96-94. We also have the southpaw Ana Rosola, a veteran from Mexico City, capture the vacant WBC silver light flyweight title over, sincerely, the overmatch Aneli Hernandez in a 10-rounder. Scores there were 100-90 twice and 100-91. And then Tijuana's own Sandra Robles, light flyweight here from Tijuana, stopped veteran Luz Rodriguez in the third round of a Schedule 6. And then the sister of Ana Maria Torres, who's coming up in the ranks, she's 10-0 now. Her name is Silvia Torres. She defeated Jocelyn Valdez in a 6-rounder, also in the light flyweight division. Scores there were 60-54 three times. And the funny thing is, this is the second time I get to speak to Raja, who's a very, very nice lady, a really good fighter, very tough, straightforward, comes to fight. And she had some early success with Eileen, who is, you know, close to 50 years old. She's like 46, yeah, 47 years old, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then Eileen started kind of landing a right hand on the shorter Raja, and and started having a little bit of a problem there. But Raja ended up winning the title. But what she mentioned to me, Raja did, is that earlier that day on Saturday at the convention, they had the ratings meeting with Mauricio Suleiman and I forgot his name. He's the chairman for the female boxing division of the WBC, Malte. He's German. Mm-hmm. Malte, I forgot his last name, and I probably wouldn't be able to pronounce it. And they decided, they announced that they're going to try to put together flyweight tournament with the winner winning the diamond belt, you know, the special diamond WBC belt. And they mentioned the names that they mentioned that they would like to participate in this tournament, which I really hope they make it happen, because any way you cut this tournament, David, it's going to be exciting. Mm-hmm. You're going to have the current champion, WBC champion right now, Jessica Kika Chavez, who just won a fight that we're going to talk about. You're going to have Ava Knight, who was there, who also just fought, and we're going to talk about that. We're going to have the WBO champion, Melissa McMorrow, and we're going to have, hopefully, the current WBC junior light flyweight champion, La Roca Zamora, Yves Roca Zamora, who has mentioned her desire to go up to flyweight and challenge Kika Chavez. And then also Raja, who I just mentioned. But Raja was kind of like on the fence about it, saying that if it happens, she might be willing to go down to light flyweight and look for a title there. Since if Zamora goes up in weight, she would leave the title vacant. So Raja was kind of mentioning to me that she might want to go down to junior flyweight or light flyweight and look for a title there. So we don't know if Raja, who holds the silver title at flyweight, will be willing to be part of that tournament. But I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty good tournament. I mean, all those names are pretty solid fighters, all of them, every single one. I wouldn't know who was going to win that title. I mean, that tournament. That sounds pretty...
And I hope they hold out, and I hope they make it happen, because there's a fight there that I really want to see that they haven't been able to make it, and not because they don't want to make it, because I think both fighters have said that they want to face each other, but obviously being female boxing and the opportunities are not always there, they haven't found a promoter that is willing to make it. Maybe Tom Loeffler would like to make it sometime down the road, but they would have to make it as part of the tournament. It would be Ava Knight against Melissa McMorrow, two fighters from the Bay Area who have been going back and forth saying they want to fight each other, but nobody has been able to put that fight together.
Yeah, that's one of those things, a cross-bay fight that should be made, but it's the problem in female boxing right now, getting a promoter to put it on. And that's it. I mean, they're willing to do it. The girls are willing to do it.
Yeah. They're willing to do it. We just got to find a promoter that is willing to put that fight together and obviously paying the purses that these women deserve. Mauricio Suleiman did mention during the convention that if they do put this tournament together, that he would try to have, you know, minimum purses as part of the tournament, basically stating that, you know, for every fight, you know, the semifinal and the final, the purses will be set guaranteed beforehand, and that they would be on TV. Didn't mention if it would be Mexican TV, which we know Mexican TV is very supportive of female boxing, or U.S. TV, but it's something that he mentioned. So hopefully he's working on it, he makes it happen for this year, or at least get it started this year, and maybe finish it up next year for next year's convention.
That would be a great, great thing to do, because that's what female boxing needs. It needs something like that, an eye-opening event that draws everybody's attention. And you have the diamonds of the flyweight division participating, that would do it. That would be one of those things that really wakes up the whole boxing world.
Yes. Going back to the recap, on Saturday, February 6th, from Buenos Aires, Argentina, we had Sabina Perez defeat Maria Jose Nunez via unanimous decision and 10-rounder to defend her interim WBO super bantamweight title. Scores were 190 times 2 by two judges, and 98-92. But that same night, from the Arena Coliseo in Mexico City, Promociones del Pueblo, a promotional company here in Mexico that has a number of female fighters, put on basically, I would think, and I think you would agree with me, David, the star of their stable as far as female boxing, Mariana the Barbie Juarez, she defended her WBC International Super Flyweight title against Florida's Noemi Bosquez in a 10-rounder. The scores were 100 to 93 times. I don't know if you got a chance to see the fight, David, but I did. And quite honestly, I was pretty impressed and surprised that Mariana was able to have such an easy win with Noemi. I know Noemi is a tough fighter. She has fought anybody and anybody that's willing to fight her. She's gone up in weight and fought Heather Hardy. She came to San Diego and fought Kenny Enriquez here in San Diego, basically in Kenya's backyard. She has gone and fought in other parts of the country. She's going to go fight in New Zealand in April. And she went down to Mexico City and fought Mariana Juarez. And Mariana being, what, how old is she now, David? 35, 36 years old?
Yes, 36, I think.
I was pretty surprised how easy of a time she had.
Mariana's, she's one of those master fighters, though. I mean, there's not too many in boxing, period, man or female, but Mariana is one of those. She's done so much. She has more than 50 fights. I mean, how many women have more than 50 pro fights? Mariana's one of the very few. And she knows everything. She knows exactly how to nullify this type and that type of style. And I can see her beating Noemi only because she has that kind of knowledge. But that's the only reason. Not that Noemi's not that good of a fighter. It's just that, just the experience factor.
And I know, David, that you have covered Mariana Juarez back in the past when she was spending some time in Los Angeles and fighting out of L.A. Did you see that style from her back then? Did she have that style that she was so poised and so and such a good boxer back then? Or do you think that she has improved with age like a fine wine?
Well, when I first saw Mariana, she was strictly a brawler. And she had already had wars with Ana Maria Torres. And then she came to the U.S. and she started training with Ben Lira, who was coincidentally he was working with Ana Gabriel. But Ben Lira is one of the best trainers of women in the U.S. And he kind of tinkered with her style, made her a little more defensive, and taught her how to parry and things like that. And she added that to her game, and she was still very young when she came to South Almani. And then she went back to Mexico, and she just gotten better and better every year. I'm surprised she's still able to maintain it at 36.
Yeah, and she keeps fighting, and she has, and it doesn't seem like she has any quitting her anytime soon, which is good because she's a good fighter. We like to watch her. 10 days after that Mariana Juarez fight against Noemi Bosquez, it was a Tuesday, from Sam's Town in Las Vegas, Mayweather Promotions featured LaTondra Jones in her pro debut, defeat Latasha Burden via unanimous decision in a middleweight four-rounder. The special thing about this fight is that LaTondra Jones is the first female fighter that Mayweather Promotions has signed. So as a middleweight, that's a tough division to sign a female fighter, just for the simple fact that, at least in the United States, there isn't that many opponents. There isn't that many female fighters at middleweight. So I don't know how quickly they're going to go through them, and then they're going to have to start looking out of the country to find her opponent. So let's see how Mayweather Promotions does promoting a female fighter. And obviously, being in the fourth round, and she's a pro debut, you can't have her sit around for 3 or 4 months. She's got to be fighting pretty consistently if you want to field her the right way.
I wonder if they actually signed her or they just put her on the fight card. But that would be something if they did.
I think they did sign her. I mean, I don't know if they put out an official press release, but I think on some social media sites, I did see that she was signed to Mayweather Promotions. I think they showed some videos on their Instagram account stating that she was signed to them, but I don't remember seeing an actual official press release.
Yeah, I wasn't able to see anything on her either, other than that she fought on that fight card.
The next night after that, on February 17th, from the B.B. King Bar and Grill in New York, again, De Bella Entertainment featured another female fight, which is kind of surprising. De Bella, you know, featuring so many female fights, but, you know, kudos to him. But in this fight, Amanda Serrano stopped Olivia Guerrilla in the first round to capture the vacant WBO featherweight title. The official time was a minute and 50 seconds into the first round. I'm sure you saw the clip for this fight, David, and, you know, just no contest. And just today, Amanda is in Puerto Rico receiving that title and that belt from Paco Valcarcel of the WBO in an official ceremony. So there we have the new featherweight champion, and she just looked unstoppable at featherweight. Earlier today, I watched an interview that they did to her as she was landing in Puerto Rico, saying that she wanted to unify all the titles at 126 pounds, or if that wasn't feasible, then she was willing to go down to 122 pounds and look for a title there. Well, one fight that she would have to go through to be able to unify at 126 would be Jennifer Han of El Paso, Texas, who is the IBF champion, which I think that's a pretty good fight in that weight division.
Yeah, that would be an interesting fight. I'm surprised that she wants to go down any further than 126 because she's kind of tall. And to fight at 122 in the super bantamweight fight level, that would be a little too much in my estimation. I don't know about you, what you think of her dropping down that low, because I think she's about 5'6", 5'7", something like that.
Well, she says she can make it, and what I find also very interesting is that she gets a lot much more publicity, maybe because she just won the title, than her sister. Are they twins, or is one older than the other?
I think one's older than the other. Her sister, Cindy, I think, is older.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's see if she gets a chance at featherweight to unify one of those titles. If not, then we'll see if she can make 122. And maybe they could do another great fight at 122 for her. Will be Heather Hardy. Why not? Both in New York, both with huge followings in that city. One being Puerto Rico, Amanda Serrano. Heather Hardy being Irish, obviously a big Irish population in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a great fight.
And De Bella has her too.
Yeah, and I think Al Heyman signed Heather Hardy also, so we'll see if they could put that together. But De Bella being there, I'm sure that he could be a catalyst towards putting that fight together. On Saturday, February 20th, in Mazatlán, Mexico, Promociones del Pueblo again put on a great female fight, and they brought back a fighter that was known as, you know, the murderer of Mexican female fighters, none other than Chico California's Ava Knight, who this time, after being out of the ring for quite some time, fought to a draw against the experienced Jacek Noriega in a super flyweight six-rounder. I got a chance to watch this fight, David, and despite the fact that Jacek Noriega is, I think, a natural strawweight, she gave Ava all she could handle in that fight, and I scored it for Jacek Noriega, but the judges, obviously, with a better view than my view, because I was watching on TV, they scored it a draw. But I thought that Jacek took that fight. So, you know, I don't know if it was ring rust from Ava Knight or what might have been the case, but she had it even tough.
She seemed to slow down. She seemed to slow down in the fight. I was able to see that fight, too. And she didn't seem as strong as usual. And I saw that Noriega had the energy, and it ended in a draw, but it could have easily gone either way. It could have gone to Noriega or to Knight. But a draw, in my estimation, was fair.
Mm-hmm. And then the week after that, we had the woman that we were speaking to with Mr. Tom Loeffler, who is now part of K2 Promotions, I consider her, and I think you do too, the number one pound-for-pound champion in the world, Cecilia Brickhouse, undefeated, and she defended her belt with a unanimous decision over Chris Namos. Scores were a lopsided 193 times by all the judges, and with the talk of Tom Loeffler saying that, you know, hopefully soon we get to see her in the United States.
Oh, that would be great. The fight I would like to see her is with a woman that I consider the pound-for-pound best. I have Breakers like maybe number three, But I consider Layla McCarter the best female fighter pound for pound. They can fight each other at the same weight class.
No, I thought Layla was down at 135.
Well, she has the junior middleweight title, too. She knocked out the South mm-hmm. African girl to win that title. And then last year, she fought in the BKB and knocked out the lightweight.
She fought Delphine Persoon at 135 on the BKB.
No, she fought the Australian girl, Diana Prozac, in the BKB.
Yeah, yes.
And she knocked her out.
Well, I saw that fight. Sorry, my mistake on the Delphine Persoon. But I don't know. I mean, I think Cecilia, I mean, I think Layla McCarter is a great fighter, too. I think she's awesome. But I don't know if I would like to see that at welterweight. I would like to see Cecilia face somebody in her weight class, somebody that's a natural in that weight class to really gauge, you know, how good she is. I mean, with 28 wins, 0 losses, but only 7 knockouts, that only goes to show that she doesn't really have all that much power in her fist, or am I mistaken?
She seems to not use her legs as much to punch. And that'll take away from her knockout power. She's more of an arm puncher, and she's good. She has a good speedy combinations, but she's mainly an arm puncher. And but she's a great athlete, very very good athlete. It's obvious.
Well, you're right. Just looking at the box work, David. In her last 5 fights, Layla has actually fought twice in the welterweight division. She defeated Kimberly Harris with a unanimous decision back in 2011, and then she defeated Noni Tenge with the 8th-round TKO back in 2012, and then she only has fought in boxing because she did fight last year in the BKB, but in an actual boxing ring, her last fight was in 2014, winning a unanimous decision against Melissa Hernandez. So hopefully we get to see her in a boxing ring soon because she is a very special fighter.
She hasn't lost a fight since 2007, and that's mm-hmm. amazing. She's just beaten everybody that's crossed her path. And the last loss she had,
hopefully we get to see her soon.
Yeah, she's supposed to fight in Mexico. She just told me today that she has offered a fight in Mexico, in I think on April, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
But
well,
I'll get more information on that.
Okay. Hopefully sometime in the near future we could have her on the show and have a little interview with her and get to know a little bit more about Layla McCarter.
Yeah, she's a fantastic fighter. I wish more people knew more about her, but she's amazing. She's amazing. She actually trains in the Mayweather gym. And a lot of people don't know that, but she's there all the time.
And in our last fight of the recap, again, I'm telling you, Promociones del Pueblo is one of the busiest and one of the, it's not the only promoter that really is featuring female fighters in Mexico, because the other promoter, Sanford Promoter, really only have about 4 female fighters in their stable, one of them being Jackie Nava, who is obviously right now semi-retired because she's a politician here in Mexico. But she has mentioned that she might want to come back after her political career, which still has about 2 years left. So I don't know how she's going to feel after 2 years outside the ring. She has said that she has been training on and off because she just loves to train, but she cannot find the time right now with her political career to train in a more consistent basis. The other fighter that Sanford Promotions has is Jasmine Rivas, and then they have Silvia Torres, the sister of Ana Maria Torres, and then they have the strawweight WBA champion Ortiz, the Mispa Ortiz. That's another champion that they have under their stable. But other than that, the rest of the female fighters of any name in Mexico are with Promociones del Pueblo. And if Mariana Juarez is the queen, then Jessica Kika Chavez is their princess, which she defended her WBC 112-pound title with the unanimous decision over the Argentinian Vanessa Lorena Taborda. Lorena Taborda actually got her name because she fought, I think she beat, if not fought to a draw, with Yeah, I remember that fight. She fought to a draw with Mariana Juarez, and it was very highly controversial of why it was a draw, and then the judges ended up being suspended and all that, if you remember, David.
That's crazy. But that can happen in the sport of boxing. I mean, boxing is so subjective.
Yes, actually, here's this real story. Barbie Juarez beat her with a split decision back in July, and it was very highly controversial because a lot of people saw the Argentinian Vanessa Lorena Taborda win. Then they Mauricio ordered the immediate rematch because it was for the WBC International Female Super Flyweight title. And then in their second matchup, they fought to a split draw. And now Vanessa went down to flyweight and challenged Kika Chavez, and Kika handily beat her with scores of 97-93 twice, and I believe the other score was 97-93 and then 97-92. So Kika Chavez, actually in her pre-fight promotion, she said, "I'm no Mariana Juarez. I'm going to be able to beat her very decisively," which I thought were big words from Kika Chavez.
Wow, that's amazing. But isn't Mariana fighting now at the super flyweight, 115?
Yeah, Mariana is a super flyweight. She's fighting at 115 pounds. But I think this Vanessa Taborda is actually more of a junior flyweight. And I just read a note today that she's actually going to be fighting. She just finished the fight, and on April 8th, actually, she's going to be facing her person from the same country, the person that's going to be coming back after being out for quite some time, Jessica Yolanda Bopp, the reigning, I think she's a WBO, WBA junior flyweight champion. She's been out because she had a baby, and now she's coming back after, I think, more than a year, and she's going to be facing Lorena Taborda on April 8th.
Oh, that's going to be something. Is it going to be televised?
It's going to be in Argentina, so it's not going to be televised in Argentina, so we're going to have to catch that stream or something like that. But the good news is that Jessica Bopp is coming back. She is a very popular fighter, 27 wins, one loss, 12 KOs, the only loss coming when she actually traveled to Mexico and faced none other than Jessica Chavez, the Kika Chavez, at 108 pounds back in 2013. She hasn't fought since 2014 in April when she was able to capture the vacant WBO flyweight title, but no word in what actual weight she's going to be coming back in and in what weight she's going to be campaigning.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that'll be interesting that she can come back because she was a superstar in Argentina.
Yeah, she is a superstar. She's not that old. She's about 30 something years old. So she's not all that old, but she's not all that young either. And with that, that's the recap of the 2016 fights. And we're going to be featuring some special things here on the 2 Minute Round. We're going to be having every week or every other week when we have the show, we're going to be having different subjects to discuss. We had a really interesting subject for this show because our co-host Liz Quevedo Parr is not here with us, and being that she's a former female fighter, she would have a lot of input into that subject. We're gonna let that simmer for a little bit and leave it on the oven, or so that way we can talk about it on March 24th, which will be the next show at 6 p.m. Pacific time, that we'll be back here with the 2 Minute Round. What do you think about that, David?
Well, that's going to be something. Yeah, Liz is a great personality, and she's a very opinionated person, but very knowledgeable. She was trained by Freddie Roach, and she came out of the famous Commerce City Gym that had several Olympians, and she would have been an Olympian if they had it for women at that time. So she probably has a lot to say.
That's good, and that's what we need here on the show. And we also need for our listeners to call in whenever they get a chance. We're not going to do the call in this show because it is our first show. You kind of want to get our feet wet, But I could almost guarantee you that on our next show on March 24th, we're going to open up the phone lines to hear from you, the female boxing fans, and that way we can have a lively, ongoing discussion regarding female boxing. With that said, let's go to the final segment of our show so we can get out of here and let's get out of here and actually watch some female fighting on YouTube and get all pumped up for what's coming up. So we're going to give you the upcoming calendar, and we're going to give you the upcoming calendar of female boxing matches for the next 2 weeks, since our show is going to be every 2 weeks. So starting this Friday, March 11th, I'm very excited over this fight, David, from Canada. KO Boxing Promotions is going to be promoting the fight between the WBA and the WBC featherweight champion, Edith Soledad Matisse, the sister of Lucas Matisse, and she's going to be defending her titles against the very woman that she took the WBC title from in her last fight, Jelena Mirjanovic. David,
well, that's
are you excited for this fight?
Oh, absolutely.
That's going to be a fight.
Absolutely, absolutely. Jelena Mirjanovic is one of the top fighters in the world. I was shocked that she lost.
Me too. And the fact that she lost in Argentina, where honestly, sometimes the decisions down there are very, very controversial, and they really
absolutely.
Go against the visiting champion or the visiting fighter, even if she was the champion. Now that she's going to be challenging for the titles in Canada, well, I mean, maybe the playing field is a little bit more even, or maybe it's slightly tilted towards Jelena. But then I've seen Soledad fight live. She came down to Tijuana some years ago and faced Jackie Nava, and Jackie Nava beat her. But, man, is she a tough fighter. I mean, she's just like her brothers. I don't know if you know this, David, but they're a complete boxing family. And when I mean a complete boxing family, I mean a boxing family. The dad was a former fighter. The mom was a former fighter. The older brother, Walter, is a former fighter who I saw fight here in San Diego. And if you guys remember, he fought Paul Williams at one time. Lucas Matisse, mm-hmm. we all know as the Machine. And then we have Soledad Matisse. And I think there's a cousin or two out there that also are fighters. So, I mean, I don't want to go to that house and get into an argument over dinner because fists are going to be flying.
Yeah. And the only one that it stops at, I think, is Lucas's daughter. She's a gymnast, but she's a champion gymnast. So
the daughter
of
Lucas?
Yeah, he came over last summer to pump up his fight against the Russian fighter. He brought his daughter because she's a gymnast and she was participating in some international affair. But the daughter's an athlete too.
Wow. Well, they need a referee to be there when they have dinner, because I'm sure a little discussion there, they might get a little heated. And I wonder if that and the mom ever spar each other, or is the mom and Lucas spar each other, or that's got to be a very interesting story over there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they don't look like they've been in battles. They look, the faces look pretty fresh.
Yeah, and I think one of the advantages, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm fine.
I think one of the advantages that Jelena might have in this fight, if she uses it to her advantage, because obviously she didn't use it in her last fight, is that she's a lot taller than Soledad. I saw the picture today from the press conference, and she looks a lot taller than Soledad. So hopefully she boxes from the outside. And we know she has some power because there are some she scored some impressive knockouts, you know. But Soledad, I mean, she's tough. She could take a punch.
Yeah, that's her thing. That's her calling card. She could take a punch, like all the Matisse's except for Walter.
That's true. But Walter could. He had some power in his hand too, so he couldn't take that much of a punch, but he could dish one out.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
The next night, Saturday, March 12th, from Ciudad Juarez. You already mentioned this fight, David. Solina La Loba Munoz will be defending her super flyweight WBC title against Christina McMahon, the only woman to give the current WBC bantamweight champion Catherine Fitty her only loss. What can you tell me about Christina McMahon? She's from Ireland, correct?
Yes, she's from Ireland. When she beat Catherine Fitty, she beat her in Zambia. So that's pretty impressive. You go to Africa and win a fight there. She must have really impressed the judges because she won. She defeated her, and then she came and suffered a loss to Alicia Ashley, and that's her only loss. So she has some talent. She has some talent. She's going to give Zelina a hard fight, in my opinion.
Well, as you mentioned, David, there isn't a lot of fighters out there that have over 40 or 50 fights. Well, Zelina La Loba Munoz is one of those fighters that does have that amount of fights. She has over 40 fights and only one loss, which she avenged after she lost against a German fighter. I can't remember her name off the top of my head. But she is one of those fighters that has a lot of experience. So I think this has everything, the writing's on the wall for this to be a pretty good fight.
Yeah, I'm amazed at Zelina. She kind of surprises me because even though she has 45 or 50 fights, she fought a lot of easy competition. But then as she started being matched against pretty good opponents, she still won. So she must have learned something along the way.
Well, I mean, she lost. Her only loss was back in 2007 to the German Alicia Graf, she's a great fighter. But she ended up avenging that loss back in, I remember that fight, because they brought Alicia Graf to Mexico back in 2014, and she ended up stopping her in 6 rounds, and she avenged that loss. And I've actually seen Zelina Loba Munoz fight live at the first WBC female convention in Cancun. Mm-hmm. She fought a young woman that only had 8 fights. Her name was Karina Hernandez, who is the current NABF flyweight champion. So she went up to 115 pounds to face Loba Munoz. And to be quite honest, and like you mentioned, David, that even though she has all those fights, she actually has 48 bouts. Karina Hernandez gave her all she could handle back in 2014 with only 8 fights. So you do have a point there where she kind of doesn't look as good as she should be with all those fights under her belt.
Yeah, she's one of those girls that might have been protected most of her career. But against Christina McMahon, I think, you know, this is going to be the real test.
Mm-hmm. The same night, David, on Saturday, March 12th, in Lancaster, California, Roman Promotions at the Pioneer Event Center is going to feature Paola Estrada versus Paola Ortiz in a 6-rounder flyweight title. Paola Estrada is 4-0. She's one of the upcoming Southern California fighters, very tall for that weight class, and I think that she has some potential. She has some potential. She looks very good. She knows how to box. She has some experience in the amateur ranks. So I think that she's being built up nicely out there in Lancaster, where she's from, and making a name for herself.
Yeah. In fact, her dad's part of the promotion. So her dad, mm-hmm. you know, knows how to guide her. He's also the matchmaker. So he knows how to guide her. And she is talented, though. She was participating on the team, on the U.S. team. And I've seen her fight in person. And she's got some speed, and she's got height, and she's got reach. And she knows how to use it.
Well, the fight that I would like to see sometime in the future, and for it to mean something, maybe for some kind of title, is Paola Estrada against Kenya's sister, Tania Enriquez, who is like a mirror image of Paola Estrada, because she's tall, she's lanky, she's long, but she's a southpaw. So I think that's a great fight sometime in the future.
Oh, absolutely. That's a perfect matchup. That's just ready to be made. You just sprinkle water on it.
Yeah, we need to let that one simmer and let them get a little bit more experience and maybe for a belt. On Friday, March 18th, from Finland, Eva Wallstrom will be defending her WBC super featherweight title against Diana Santana in a 10-rounder. And on the same night, here in Tijuana, Bobby D Presents, in association with Promociones Mayen, will be featuring a fight between Sandra Robles, formal title challenger, against an opponent to be announced.
Oh, that should be good. It's always good to see somebody with talent.
Yeah, Sandra Robles is a fighter that she's been fighting for quite some time. She has a lot of experience. She challenged for a title at 105 against La Vispa Ortiz. Unfortunately, it didn't go as well as she wanted it to, and she ended up losing. But I think she realized that even though she was able to make 105 pounds, it was a tough road to get there. And And now I think she's going to be concentrating more in the junior flyweight division. So we're going to see her campaign there, where she's highly ranked with all the different organizations.
Yeah, that should be a good fight card.
Yeah, another fight on the same night on Friday, March 18th, which I'm also excited about, David, as much as I'm excited for that Matisse and Mirovic fight, is from Cancun, Mexico, and hopefully we can get a stream online. But Marta Salazar, the WBC heavyweight champion, will be defending her title in a 10-rounder against Mexican Alejandra La Tigre Jimenez. That's going to be the first ever female heavyweight title fight to be fought on Mexican soil. I want to see this fight, David. Hopefully I can find a stream for it or something for it, because I really want to watch this fight live.
That's amazing. I didn't know that. So this is going to be the very first heavyweight title fight in Mexico.
That's
something. I've seen Marta
Salazar
fight. She's very good.
Slick. She's very good. She's very slick. Moves very well for her size. And I think this Alejandra Jimenez, she might have been in more than she can chew with only 5 fights under her belt. She's only 5-0, and I've seen some clips, and I've actually seen her fight on TV here in Mexico. She's 5-0 with 4 knockouts. She might have been a little bit more than she can chew, because Ms. Marta Salazar has more experience than her. She's the bigger fighter between the two, and I think she's the more skillful.
She's very skillful. I've seen her fight years ago. I'm surprised she's still fighting. But she does have skill. We'll see if age has slowed her down or caused her to rust. But, I mean, just on skill alone, she should win the fight. But we'll see. Sometimes youth comes out and smashes all that experience.
And the one thing that is working for Alejandra Jimenez is she is going to be fighting basically at home in Cancun, where she's done all her fights, whereas this will be Marta's first fight into Mexico. So that would be, you know, I don't know if it's going to be a factor, but if it is, it's going to be to Alejandra's benefit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, in Cancun, they love boxing, man.
I was at that same arena. At the Oasis?
Yes, I saw that's where Selena Salazar beat Anna Julican in a 10-round fight.
Okay. Well, then Saturday, March 19th, from Buenos Aires, Anaí Esther Sánchez will be facing Areti Mastroduca in a 10-rounder for the vacant super featherweight IBF title. And the same night, but from Toluca, Mexico, again, Promociones del Pueblo will be featuring their WBC light flyweight champion, Laibe Roca Zamora, who will be defending her title against Mari Ando in a 10-rounder, and that's actually going to be featured on Mexican TV here in Mexico. And with that, that is the end of the upcoming calendar onto our next show, which is scheduled for March 24th. And that, David, brings us to the end of this, our first debut show of the 2-minute round. You know, we've had everything tonight. We had some technical difficulties. We had a great interview with Tom Loeffler. We had the fight recap. So we're basically caught up to this point in female boxing. And then we gave you the upcoming calendar. So with that, we pretty much hit all our goals that we have for the show today, David. Any thoughts on our first show?
Well, there's a lot more going on in the female boxing world than people realize. And I think they just found out today that there is a lot going on. But I think there should be even more, and I think we're going to see that real soon.
And you do have a point there, David, because in compiling the female boxing recap for the last year, obviously I didn't put all the fights that happened this year, and there have been a ton of fights this year. I mean, some 4-rounders, some 6-rounders, but in some countries that we don't really consider big female boxing hotbeds, but they are. Like Thailand has female boxing all the time. Hungary has female boxing all the time. Some other Eastern European countries have female boxing. Japan has a lot of female boxing, and they have some great champions out there. So,
absolutely.
You know, there is a lot of female boxing. The only thing that it's not on TV, so it's really hard to find. You got to go. Actually, in Mexico, it is on TV. And in case you guys don't know this, the people are listening, you know, in Mexico, there's two major networks, and female boxing are the main event on these two major networks plenty of times. I mean, if anything, last week we just had, last Saturday, the biggest network in Mexico is called Televisa. The main event on their Saturday night boxing show was a female fight. It was that Kika Chavez fight against the Argentinian Taborda. And this Saturday night on the same channel is going to be another female fight as the main event, primetime television, terrestrial, like if it was NBC, and it's going to be Iber La Roca Zamora against Mari Ando. So in Mexico, female boxing is huge. In Argentina, it's huge. In Germany, it's huge. And hopefully the United States soon catches up with, you know, the things that Mr. Tom Loeffler is trying to do and is doing. And you and I and Liz, with our little grain of salt that we're doing here with our podcast, The 2 Minute Round.
Yes, I'm looking forward to more, too. There's a lot to talk about.
Well, David, with that said, why don't you give the folks your social network addresses or where they can find you. They can tweet you if they have any questions or if they have any comments or if they want to, like, you know, yell at us for the technical difficulties. Why don't you give them your Twitter handle, and then we could get out of here.
Yeah, you can reach me at Avila Boxing on Twitter, or you can find me on Facebook at David A. Avila. And feel free to drop by and give a comment.
Okay, and they can read your articles on thesweetscience.com, and if they're in the Riverside, California, they could buy the paper and read it on the Riverside Enterprise. My name is Felipe León. My Twitter handle is at SDFights, S as in Sam, D as in David, Fights, or you can find me on Facebook under Felipe León, and you can read my stuff on fightnews.com, or if you are of the Spanish persuasion, you can find me on boxeotijuana.com. And with that said, on behalf of my co-host David Avila and Liz Quevedo Parr, who will be with us on March 24th, 6 p.m. Pacific time, and the rest of the Leave It in the Ring network, we bid you farewell.